Hello, and you're very welcome to the latest edition of our Festival Focus with Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey in association with From the Horse's Mouth. And following on from last week, lads, where you looked at the first 2 days of the 2021 Punchestown Festival, today we're going to concentrate on the remainder of the Grade Ones on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Ruby, last week you chatted with PK of your great memories at Punchestown and great days like that. But not only is it a great week of racing, it's also the celebration of a great season, because on the Saturday, the champions of all the different divisions are generally crowned.
Yeah, they are, Rob. It wasn't always the way, actually. When I started riding way back when, Kilbeggan was usually the last day of the season. Well, whatever the last day of May was, 31st of May used to be the end of the season, but they brought it forward and aligned it to the end of the Punchestown Festival. I think it makes much more sense, to be honest, which it basically is the end of the season, and then the new one starts the following Monday. But it's a fitting place for it. Obviously, it happens in Sandown in the UK. This year, that's the week before Punchestown, often it can be on the same day as the last day of Punchestown. But it's the right place for it. It's the right end, the natural end of the season, I always felt.
And it's most definitely the natural end this year, because the Irish Jockeys title race obviously is extremely intriguing. From memory, there was a couple of close calls. When you won it in 2015, you ended up beating Mark Walsh by 4. And I think before that, maybe 2013, Davey beat you by a couple. So this year is another example of having a really close race, potentially.
Yeah, look, and the year I beat Mark, Mark got a fall in Thurles actually and got injured and missed a fortnight or whatever. It allowed me the opportunity to get back. I think the year I didn't catch Davey, that swung on one race actually. Davey beat me in a conditions hurdle. That was the difference in the winning and losing there. And I think the year before that actually I did peg Davey back from 10 or 12 behind him. But it can be. And this year will be interesting too, and a lot will depend on whether Paul makes it back for Punchestown or not. And even if he does, I think two winners would nearly guarantee it for him. But I think a lot will depend on what happens prior to Punchestown for Rachel. I mean, there's a double fixture in Kilbeggan, and I think she'll have to be within 5 at the start of the week. And hope Paul doesn't ride if she's to beat him. I think she's up against it. At the time of recording, she's 9 behind. She needs 9 to win, and there's 9 meetings left. And that's difficult. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, because she's had a lot of rides over the weekend, and she probably didn't get as many winners as most were expecting. So, in your opinion, she'll need a lot of luck at Punchestown if she's to be champion jockey.
Yeah, I think, and maybe Frank would nearly be better at what I'm about to suggest than I am, but I think when you go on her season statistics, her strike rate for the year round, and take into account she's ridden just a little less than 90 winners, 80 something in 11 months, yet you're expecting her then to go and ride 10 in a fortnight. The maths don't add up. And that was always a mentality that actually was AP enlightened me on it. When he'd be chasing figures in the UK and was chasing championships, he'd have targets whereby he would have to be if he was going to achieve different figures. And I just don't think that the general maths of the season don't stack up in Rachel's favour.
And it was the same case with you, even though other jockeys might have had a lot more rides than you, it was the strike rate which was most impressive. And that's the case with Paul over Rachel.
Yeah, and that's ultimately, it's about winners. So look, there's no one is ever going to question Rachel Blackmore's work ethic and the amount of rides she takes, but it's converting those chances into realistic winners. And when you look at it, it's the amount of favourites. She probably hasn't ridden anywhere near as many favourites as Paul has either. And when you're chasing winners, you do need to ride the most favourites.
Frank, we've had betting on this. I know we put it up over a week ago. Much happening in the Paul versus Rachel market?
I think it's come down again. I think Paul was 1-12 the last time we had it up. Basically, kind of backing up what Ruby said there, if he gets back for Punchestown at all and gets a winner, Lums be impossible for Rachel to win then. So I think I read something on Twitter yesterday that was like, since Cheltenham, Rachel's 5 from 30 rides in the UK, but only like 6 winners from 90 odd rides in Ireland. So that strike rate wouldn't be good enough. Basically, I think Paul just has to get back and ride that winner, and that'll be the end of it.
That feeds into the yards you're riding for two, lads. this time of year, you probably had a better chance riding for Willie Mullins than most other people. His horses tend to be hotter than anybody else's around now. You saw that in Tremor yesterday. He had a treble. You need to be riding for a yard that's on fire to clock the numbers that Rachel needs. And Henry's had an incredible year, but Ari's horse is just burning as hot as Willie's right now. Not the everyday ones. The good ones are, but not the run-of-the-mill ones. And it's the run-of-the-mill ones you need for winners.
And Frank, that leads us into the Punchestown Festival. Obviously, a lot will depend on Willie Mullins' runners, but she was champ. She was leading jockey at Cheltenham. What chance, in your opinion, has she of being leading jockey at Punchestown? Because she'll probably maybe get a couple of the Cheveley Park rides that Willie trains.
Well, you'd expect her to get Aloha, but she won't ride Sir Gerhard because she can't ride in the rest. and that's about it. So, for me, looking at it, Frank, don't know what you think. Aloha v. Shack and Pourchois, 2 miles, Punchestown. I think I'd be in the Shack and camp.
I'd be the same as you. I think just Aloha will set it up for Shack and Pourchois, I think. And looking at the forecast as well, it's pretty decent on good ground. I just think he'll get a lovely toe into the race and maybe do him for speed between the last two. I think, pricing up, leading jockey at the Punchestown Festival wouldn't be my expertise now, to be honest, Rob. But, she's a strong chance of winning that. But as Ruby said, she needs 9 winners and, she probably needs to get, 4 or 5 before Punchestown to give her a strong chance of winning it. And even then, she probably needs Paul not to make it back. And, yeah, I think the lads in the office were telling me that it was pretty positive that Paul might get back for Punchestown, so it'll be very difficult for her if he does.
Yeah, I think Willie sort of suggested that in his weekly column as well. Right, let's get cracking on to the first of the grade ones on Thursday. And Ruby, we'll start with you because it's the Punchestown Champion Stairs Hurdle. It's always a great race, I suppose, from Cavega's 4 wins in the race to, Harry beating Nichols Canyon. This always is a race that seems to deliver for whatever reason.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know why, because there is a similar race in entry, but this tends to get a good strong field every year, and this year won't be any different. You'll have the first and second from the Paddy Power Stairs Hurdle, Flooring Porter and Sire de Burleigh. You'll probably have some new ones thrown in. Ronald Pump is still in it. Whether he'll make the race now or not, I don't know. He was obviously placed in last year's Stairs Hurdle. You'll have Beacon Edge, who was 4th and behind Flooring Porter at Cheltenham. The Storyteller, Fury Road. It's a very solid race with plenty of good horses in it. And I don't know, whatever way you look at it, lads, the way Flooring Porter did it on such a stiff track in Cheltenham, his style of running, he's going to be a hard horse to beat at Punchestown.
Yeah, because potentially before Cheltenham Festival winners in the race. And when you look at a horse like Flooring Porter, he seems to need to dominate from the front. And I know you've touched on this in the past, but do you try and go out hoping that somebody else takes him on and plays into your hands, or do you just have to ride your own race and take it as
ride
you get
your
it?
Own, ride your own race. I think if you go about taking Flooring Porter on, you're essentially going to have to burn your own horse up. So whoever takes him on is really going to struggle. Do you see a horse in there that is capable of jumping out and going toe-to-toe with Flooring Porter and still winning the race? I don't see him. It's not Sire de Burleigh's way of running. I don't see that horse in there. So Flooring Porter, I think, out of pure class and ability, is going to get to dominate this race. Not because he's been let dominated. I just think he'd be able to go faster than the others. And look, if he's in a similar vein of form to the one he was in March, he's only a 6-year-old. This horse could still be improving.
Could you see Heaven Help Us being able to lie up with them? I think this is the plan.
Yeah, but she didn't have to make it at the Dublin Racing Festival. She got it very handily in the Coral Cup and got to make the running. Whereas at the Dublin Racing Festival before that, she sat close to the pace, but she didn't make the running. She sat just behind the front runners. She's stepping up again in trip up to 3 miles. Can't imagine they're going to be as aggressive at a new trip, because you'd have to think, will she get it? Won't she get it? Until you try, you don't know. But I could see her sitting second to Flooring Porter, but I can't just see him hassling her, her hassling him even.
Okay. And on Willie's potential runners, Classical Dream has entered in this, and obviously on Friday, the plan to go chasing, it's obviously been aborted for this season. Might he run and his 3 other runners? What else does he have?
He's in good nick. Classical Dream, will you run at the Punchestown Festival, or will you wait till the following week and run him in the beginner's chase? He's obviously not going to run him in a novice chase, before the end of the season. It's just too close to the end of it. So Saldi or he may well step up and trip. James de Burley was a big disappointment at the Cheltenham Festival. And Bacardi's, he's not getting any younger. He finished seventh in the race at Cheltenham. So I think Willys would look to be the outsiders, to tell you the truth. I don't know, Frank, you were a fan of the horses. Would the Shunter be of interest if he was to come back here for this?
He actually ran better than I thought he would at Aintree, particularly considering how poorly he jumps. So he has an engine. I'm not sure he'll run, but we wait and see. He'd be interesting. And for me, the only one we've laid so far is Florian Porter. Suggesting 15-8 is a bit big, maybe. I'd say if we see any more for before it's the cut, because we've seen nothing else against me either. I suppose the thing to say about him is the reason he went off such a big price at Cheltenham was that the race at Leopardstown was very steadily run. He got to dictate. And I suppose we were analysing it. And I suppose most others analysed it, thought he was well positioned in a tactical race where he got to dominate from the front and set steady fractions and win that way. And that in a more strongly run race, he'd be found out. But then he's gone to Cheltenham in a very strongly run race. And he's won every bit as impressively. And as Ruby said, he's only a six-year-old that's probably just improving very quickly. And he is going to be difficult to beat. Now, the one thing you could kind of hang your hat on if you were looking to find something to beat him is that it was, you know, a strongly run race that might have taken something out of him would be the only thing. But he has got, what, 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks to recover? Is it? So that would be the only thing you're looking at. But at the same time, it's hard to take him on with any confidence, I think.
And the second favourite is Sarah de Burley. The fact that he couldn't beat him at Cheltenham, Punchestown being maybe a speedier track, would that make it even more difficult?
I couldn't have him turning the farm around. Like, Sarah de Burley has peaked at Cheltenham the last 2 years. Like, there was peak performances each season. And the fact he couldn't beat him at Cheltenham, I just can't see how he's going to beat him at Punchestown. I really can't. Like, if I was looking for something against him, I think Beacon Edge outran.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say I ran his odds, but he was actually very strong in the market late in the Stairs Hurdle. He ran an absolute cracker. And I think coming on to a more speed-favouring, slightly, you know, less testing track would definitely suit him. I don't think he quite got home at Cheltenham, but he still was only beaten 5.5 lengths in fourth. He, I think he was supposed to run at Farriers, wasn't he? But he was a non-runner. Was
on the day, yeah.
Yeah,
the
that attempt was too quick, I think, was it?
Mm. Was it? But like, yeah, he'd be like, he's not a massive price at 11-2, but he'd be one maybe that you could have a few bob on. Classical Dream would be very interesting if you ran, obviously. From a pure ability point of view, he was an impressive winner for Supreme. He won 3 grade runs as a novice hurdler over 2 miles, but things didn't work out for him in the second season hurdling. But the ability's there, and you have to remember too, he was going for the Ballymore until a couple of days beforehand when they switched to Supreme because of the ground. So I'd Ruby tell you more, but you'd be pretty hopeful he might get the trip if he did run. And he definitely has a more than a touch of class as well. And at 25-1, if he did rock up, you might be willing to have a couple of bob in him at a big price. But yeah, assuming he doesn't run, Beacon Edge would be the danger to Florian Porter for me.
And what about the storyteller? He was just behind Beacon Edge. And even Ronald Pump, we haven't seen him since he was a staying-on second behind Honeysuckle in the Hatton's Grace. He's obviously had his issues, but he's been entered, which suggests he might be nearing a run.
Yeah, look, his run in the Hatton's Grace was a cracker. Like, he'd have probably got Honeysuckle in another couple of strides, wouldn't he? So, if you could replicate that sort of form, he'd have a massive chance. Obviously, he was second in last year's Stairs Hurdle as well. I do think this year's might have been a stronger addition of the race, but he has the ability to play a part, no doubt about it. I think drawing ground as well would be no issue for him.
And Ruby, you mentioned the Shunter. His Irish mark is 142. Rather than taking on the big boys here and running off level weights, would the connections maybe be better off waiting for a Galway hurdler or something that he can exploit as his hurdle mark?
They might, Rob, yeah. I don't know, but they entered him all the same. That's just what had me thinking. And the one worry I'd have with Ronald Pump, like, he was declared to run at Christmas, obviously when he picked up some sort of an injury, but he did need to run in the Lismillan hurdle on his first start this year. And you'd wonder, after such a long layoff, might he just need it again?
Okay. Decision time. What do you fancy in the Punchestown Champion Stairs hurdle, Ruby?
I think it was fairly obvious what we both fancied, Rob, for both the floor and Porter camp, unless I've misread you, Frank.
I think he's the one to beat, but like, yeah, there's not been too many followed up from Cheltenham, and I might just, well, obviously, from the Stairs hurdle at Cheltenham, obviously, Craig is in a plenty.
22 years, actually, Frank.
Is it 22 years?
Derry Mile. No, not Derry Mile. What was it 22 years ago?
Was it Doran's Pride, maybe?
Doran's Pride, yeah. Maybe, yeah.
22 years, anyway.
I'd take a chat. Like, if he probably, do you think he'd run here, Ruby Traskadrain?
He's fit and he's well, and he's in full training, Frank. Runs him, I couldn't tell you.
If he popped up, if he was declared, he's still 25-1, I'd take a chance at that price. And otherwise, I think I'd maybe have something small and Beacon Edge to turn over for Ryan Porter. I think he's going, like, if you remember too, I think he's better going right handed. Funnily enough, maybe just slightly, and he was in that Hatton's Grace as well, only 3/4 of a leg behind Honeysuckle. I think he's improving. He's a 7-year-old improving, and this track might help him get the trip a little bit better, and he might get closer to Florian Porter, so he'd be the one, maybe.
Okay, sounds good. The other Grade 1 on Thursday is the Grade 1 Ryanair Novice Chase, Jack and Persuad won the latest renewal of this. Ruby, when you look at the market, we've Shishkin in behind Energamin and we've Envoy LN next. Obviously, it looks as though he's going to take on Monkfish over 3 miles. Potentially, is it an outstanding opportunity for Energamin to round off the season here?
You would think so, because it looks like he'd be going back in against horses he's already beaten, with the exception maybe of Janadil, who won over 2.5 at Fairy House on Easter Monday, no, or Easter Sunday even, whether Janadel will go to 3 miles with Monkfish and Envoy Allen or come back here to take on Energamin. I don't know, but look, Energamin probably could have ran at Fairy House, but Willie just felt it was a little tight and he'd have him for this race, and he thought he was well represented in Fairy House, which he was. He'd the first three home, so he left Energamin for this one. You know, it was a small hole up to force him to miss the Cheltenham Festival, but he looks in great form. I think the track will suit him, the trip will suit him. No Shishkin, no Envoy Allen. He's already beaten Captain Guinness. It should be pretty straightforward for him, I'd have thought.
And like Shakin in 2019, he didn't go to Cheltenham, so Energamin is likely to be fairly fresh.
Yeah, well, Shakin Persuad was still a maiden by the time Cheltenham came around. He won a beginner's chase the day before. I think it was a totally different ballgame for Energamin. He was forced to miss it because of injury. But look, he's 100% since, and he should get back on a winning track next Thursday.
Absolutely. Frank, judged by what's going on, the only real opposition to him is Captain Guinness, and he's got 8.5 lengths to make up from when they met at Nace.
Yeah, look, you're just assuming Shishkin and Envoy then don't run. Like, these are high prices. It's very difficult to price them up because you know they're almost certainly not going to run. But at the same time, you can't put them in a wild price for fear they do end up getting declared, and you get you back Shishkin at 8-1 and he's going off favourite, like, you know. So it's a bit of a balancing act. But you can only see Energamin shortening up from 4-5. Like, if the two don't run, I think that 4-5 is more like 4-11. So like, if you're having maybe a couple of anti-post bets for Punchestown, that would be the cornerstone of your multiples. You just can't see how Captain Guinness reverses. He's had a hard race in the Arkle as well, where he went hard with All Mankind up front and kind of paid the price for it a little bit by getting done for seconds then by El Dorado Allen. So I just can't see any reason why he reverses an Energamin. He's just going to win again. And I can't wait until he beats Shishkin next year. I really can't.
Is there anything, maybe, this is obviously a race that is most definitely going to cut up. Is there something that you're saying, if it's declared, surely it's going to be placed? Is there anything at a big price which looks a certain runner?
No, that'd be the answer. Embittered, he could run, but yeah, he still has a handicap mark that's workable. Captain Guinness will almost certainly run, you would have thought. The rest of them have marks that would, you know, be more suitable to handicaps. The only one, Midnight Run, doesn't have a mark yet, does he? Maybe he could run, but yeah. I just think, if you're looking at this race for a bet, just put Energamin or whatever. If you fancy something else at Punchestown, put Energamin in as well and boost your winnings.
Yeah, the more you look at a 4-5, the more appealing it's becoming.
yeah, as I said, as long as the other two aren't declared, I think you'd be lucky to get, you know, I think you'd be 4-9 and you'd probably go off somewhere around 4-11, I would have thought.
Okay, so unanimous for Enner Gamine, unsurprising there. Right, let's get on to Friday, the Grade 1 Paddy Power Punchestown Champion Hurdle. Ruby Honeysuckle was Imperies at Cheltenham. Does she look head and shoulders above the rest here?
She's definitely the best 2 mile hurdler in training. There's no doubt about that, Rob. Look, there'll be all sorts of angles, different track, different direction. But she was really, really good. I mean, she travelled super at the Cheltenham Festival, jumped like a buck. Look, what are you looking at? You're looking for something to try and beat her. She's never ran in Punchestown before. Is that going to be it? Oh, first time at the track. She handles fairy house well, albeit over 2.5, but she won a 2 mile hurdle in Thurles, I'm fairly sure, back in the day when she beat, can't remember what she beat, but she did win over in Thurles, which is probably, was officially 2 miles at the time, but I'd say if you look at it now, it's 1.7 and something since they remeasured the tracks. But she's sets the standard. I think horses win the champion hurdle have a good enough record coming back here and winning this race. It'll be beautiful ground and she'd be dead straight forward. And you're going to get what she needs. Goshen is going to come. He has to go right-handed. He's going to jump and go. It's going to be a test. It's not going to be a tactical sprint. It'll just play all into her hands. Aspire Tower could be there to make sure Goshen goes quick enough as well. So I don't see where it turns around. It might be a bit more work ladylike than flashy, but I think she'll get the job done.
Yeah, because I seem to remember one of the years Hurricane Fly won it. He was far from his best and it was the end of a season maybe taking its toll. You'd be clutching at straws if you were thinking that line with Honeysuckle, or would you?
You would. Her season has been well campaigned. I mean, one run before Christmas, run in Leopardstown in February, one run in March. It's not like she's been out every day of the week. Her program has been well tailored to four races and this is the fourth start. So I don't see that being the end of a long season for her. And I think she'll be, yeah. How do you oppose her? I mean, you can see, look, Abracadabra fell in Cheltenham and he won very well at Aintree, but he's been to Aintree. Epitant may have gotten a bit of trouble down the hill in Cheltenham. Did it matter? No. Didn't happen the rest I was watching anyway. She might have been second if she was lucky, but she wouldn't have won no matter what she'd done. She's just the best mare. And I think she was better in Cheltenham in March than she was any other day of her life. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see the same mare again.
Obviously, Paddy Power have put up the 100,000 bonus. That's on top of the 150K for winning the race. Should that entice the UK runners to come over and have a crack, given that they probably have little to lose?
It will, yeah. Epitant will come. Goshen is coming. Silver Streak will probably come. I wouldn't be surprised if Bouvardair came as well. The ones that are entered, yeah, they'll come. Of course they will. But I can't see them getting it.
Yeah, I'd say Frank might agree. Frank, you've put her in at 4-6. Yeah. Any reason, any look, anything from the market to suggest that she might be worth taking on?
Look, we've laid a few. Like, Goshen has been quite popular at 20s and 16s. I suppose getting back right-handed would be a big positive for him. He was hanging very badly at Cheltenham. I think when you go back, there was that concern before the Triumph with him going left-handed. He had been very pronounced out to his right prior to the Triumph. Now, it didn't seem to be an issue at all in the Triumph, where he jumped straight and everything, but it definitely came back to haunt him, the champion hurdle. Now, I think what's even more worrying for him this time round will be the ground. As I said, with a decent forecast and the ground likely to be, you know, good jumping ground, I don't think that plays to his strengths. I think, like, if he got softer, heavy ground for him, right-handed, you could make a strong case from putting it up to Honeysuckle maybe, but on faster ground, I wouldn't like him at all. We've laid a bit of Aspire Tower and a bit of Jason the Militant as well. Look, from a win point of view, if Honeysuckle replicates what she did at Cheltenham, there won't be anything getting nearer. She was just brilliant, to be fair. Absolutely brilliant. And I don't think there's any negative with her at all. As Ruby said, Abracadabra was the one unknown because he fell in the champion hurdle, but as Ruby said, he's had a relatively hard race at Aintree over 2.5 miles, and it is a relatively quick turnaround for him. It's going to be, what, 3 weeks? It'll have to be a small concern. Yeah. Like, if I was looking for a bet, it wouldn't be overly confident from a win point of view, but I thought Aspera Tower ran really well in the champion hurdle. He ran so well that coming down to jump the second last, he's hit 3-1 in the run. I was getting a bit excited. And considering how weak he was in the market, he was 14-16-1 the day before, out to 33s. I would have liked to see Robbie Power be a bit more aggressive on him. I think he's a real stain to Minor Aspera Tower. And I think he was travelling so well that when maybe Honeysuckle, Epitant, and Sharjah quickened up, he was left a bit flat-footed and then stayed on again into fourth, beat 11 lengths. I think right-handed could be the key to him as well. Just looking, he's had 5 runs left-handed and only run once, and he's only had 2 runs right-handed and won both of them. Up at Down Royal when he beat Jason the Militant and Abracadabra very easily, and of course his maiden hurdle when he slammed C. Docker here at Punchestown. I have a few bobbles. I think he'd probably be a little bit weak like he was at Cheltenham. You might get 14 or 16-1 on the day. I'd have a few bobby to weigh on that. And I'd definitely play him in the without Honeysuckle market. I think right-handed might keep them. But I'd like to see them be aggressive, even with Goshen in there. I think the harder they go, the more it'll suit him. He doesn't have maybe the turn of foot the likes of Sharjah, Epitant, and even Honeysuckle has. So, yeah.
And on Epitant, obviously, after she won the fight in fifth, we were all raving about her, and she's obviously a former champion hurdler. If she got back to her best, and not to say she wasn't at her best at Cheltenham, but is she worth a second chance?
Not for me. I think she was better at Cheltenham, obviously, than she was at Kempton, but still, even if you're using Sharjah as a line, she's not anywhere near the form of the champion hurdler the year before. Like, I don't think Sharjah has improved, really, has he? Like, he's just run his race again, and she's just not the same mare. Will she come? Like, if she came back to form, she definitely has the ability to make a race of it. But in all probability, she probably won't come back to that form. So at 5-1, I don't think there's too much juice in that now, to be honest. I think she'll be a bigger price on the day.
Okay, Ruby, and Willie's runners, is Sharjah the best? Obviously, he's won a Morgiana over course and distance, and we know he's probably better on good ground.
Yeah, Rob, we can try and make a case for Willie's horse if you want, but being brutally honest, it just doesn't look like he's a champion hurdle horse in that bunch anyway.
Okay, let's move on to the other grade one on the card. It could be a quick fire double for Henry and Rachel because it's the Alana Holmes champion novice hurdle. Ruby, similar to the race we've just talked about, is it all about Bob Olinger?
Yeah, I mean, he looked spectacular in Cheltenham, and it was a fairly hot race on paper. You had Gaillard and Menil and Paul Nichols' horse. I know he disappointed in entry since, but I think Paul Nichols Albar told us before the race that he thought Cheltenham had left his mark on his horse at entry. And when you look down through here, I mean, how does Gaillard and Menil turn the form of Bob Olinger? One horse has to grossly underperform for that to happen. Gaillard and Menil ran his race, just Bob Olinger was too good for him. Gallop and Deschamps, look, Martin Pipe winners have a better record going to the 3 mile hurdle in Punchestown than they probably do coming to the 2.5 mile. So will Gallop and Deschamps step up like Killulta Vic did and run in the 3 mile? He might do. Appreciated running the 2 mile. Ashdale Bob was a good battling performance to win in Fairy House, carrying the penalty, but that still leaves him shy of Bob Olinger. Blue Lord was second to Bob Olinger in Ace, raced a bit keenly. Bob Olinger looked an even better horse in March than he did in Ace in January, so can't see that. Cape Gentleman, definitely a better horse going right-handed and would love the trip at 2.5 miles. He could be the potential value each way at 14-1, but if the Bob Olinger that won the Ballymore at the Cheltenham Festival turns up, this is a one-horse race.
And when we were watching the Ballymore, was there at any stage you thought Gallard and Menil might win, or were you always thinking this lad's...
Yeah, on the way to the start, thought they both looked really well. That was about the last time I thought it might happen.
Yeah, lovely. Frank, Bob Olinger, he's going to be one of the bankers on Friday. Friday's generally a good day for favourites. What are you thinking?
Look, if you can replicate the Cheltenham form, you can't see him beaten. Just having a quick flick through the past winners in the last 10 years there haven't been too many horses doubled up for Cheltenham, though, have there? Fatour obviously won the Supreme and came and won this, but
Fahim won that and went back and won the two, didn't
exactly, it? Exactly, yeah. Went back flopped. And won the two, yeah. That year. But other than that,
Yorkhill pulled up.
Yeah, I can't remember what beat him.
No, he did. I rode him. I rode Yorkhill. He went to Aintree as well in the middle, and then he could have run.
Yeah, Paul rode him in Aintree.
Yeah, Paul won him an inch. Then yeah, I got back on him punches then. He could have ran the 2 mile though. He ran stinking,
yeah.
Yeah. I think it might have been 2 mile. Even if you take City Island as an example, City Island was
an impressive
winner of a Ballymore and went off, maybe not as short as Bob Andrews going to go off here, but I think he still went off around even money, 11 to 10, that sort of price. And he was well beaten in this. Just depends, like, how Bob Andrews comes out with.
Bought, did he?
That's going... What year was that? Was that
2008? I don't think he ran, did he?
2008, was it?
I don't remember.
Can't remember either.
There's not like, it's just the point is there hasn't been too many. Like, there's been a few horses beaten at Cheltenham. Like Nicholas Canyon was obviously beaten in a Ballymore, came back and won. Una 2 was beaten in, was he the Supreme? He came up and won this.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, it's just
he wasn't even going to win here. Something fell at the second last.
Una 2 was a small runner race.
Oh yes, correct. And then you obviously had Dortmund Park's year when there was a bit of mayhem at the second last that day as well, wasn't there? Debouche brought down a couple.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
But looking at it, he looks a superstar. It'd be interesting if Dusart did come across. He looked like an absolute, you know, I won't say a boat, but he looked like 2 miles. It was all happening far too quickly for him at Aintree. You give him some bit of a squeak. I'd love to see Gallop and Deschamps run here against Bob Ballinger. I thought he was brilliant in the Martin Pipe. And I was just kicking myself for not taking the 25-1 when Ruby said it. I forgot. That was the problem after having a couple of cans at that preview night. I forgot. My tolerance alcohol completely got out the window. But I thought he was brilliant in the Martin Pipe. And he's very much unexposed at 2.5 miles. Well, that was his first go at it. And he was brilliant. So, but he's raised 150 and Bob Andrews raised 159. Like, who's to say Gallop Deschamps couldn't improve another 6 or 7 pounds again? And make a race of it. And if he did turn up here wrong in the 3 mile race, he'd look in each way better nothing at 6-1 against Bob Andrew.
Yeah, because this is a race that is going to, it looks like it's going to cut up a lot of the horses behind Bob in the betting, probably aren't going to run.
Yeah, trying to find runners.
The only one we could say that mightn't run is maybe appreciated, maybe Blue Lord. You could make a case for Gallop and running. You could make a case for Gaillard running, Ashtead, Bob, Cape Gentleman, Dusart, we don't know. There could be more runners,
you think? Definitely. Yeah. You'll get 3 places. Like, I'd be very surprised if you don't get enough to get 3 places. And then, if you get 3 places and Gallop and Shams declared, he would look your typical each way better nothing.
The last three Cheltenham winners, Ruby, actually have won the race. Nick and Ar, who you rode, Mikael Dagenet and Vator, even though Vator obviously won the Supreme. So not many maybe have tried, but not many have doubled up.
Yeah. Wasn't a stat. I wasn't aware of it, but it wasn't something that worried me.
No, and it probably wouldn't if they didn't go to Aintree either.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's move on to Saturday. So we're very much all in the Bob Olinger camp. The Mayor's Champion Hurdle, Ruby, obviously Willie has dominated this in recent years. 6 of the last 7, 3 have been odds on. No Black Tears. She's not in the early entries. So it's probably a good opportunity for Willie to win it with one of the mares.
Yeah, and I think Concertista is the one. There's no doubt about it. We haven't seen Barn and Victor since she won the Triumph last year. Was a lucky winner of the Triumph. Tell Me Something Guard won the Novice Hurdle well at the festival. Stormy Island was good in Fairy House. Not sure the opposition was that strong. Sky Ace could be the interesting one for Shark Handling, having won the Novice Hurdle, and 2.5 really suits her. I'd be surprised if Echoes and Rain went out to this trip with the pace she's showing. And even if I think, I'm not going to say it because poor Frank will fall off the chair. So not going to burst his bubble with Echoes and Rain just yet. But I wouldn't say I was cautious about Concertista. I didn't think going to Cheltenham, Concertista had achieved as much as some of the other mares that have won that race with Willie Mullins. And I still don't think she has, but I think she's good enough to win this race.
Are you suggesting it mightn't be as good a renewal as we've seen then? She mightn't have to be at her best to win?
Mightn't. I mean, if you think about it, the two best mares are going to run the Champion Hurdle, Epitant and Honeysuckle. So you're down a level already. And Roxana ran in the 3 mile last week at Aintree, and the winner from Cheltenham Black Tears isn't in it. So purely by a process of elimination, Rob, they're probably the four top mares, and you're down to number five, which is Concertista.
And we saw Stormy Ireland obviously come back to Willie, and she was back to making all at Ferry House. Is she maybe a dark horse here, or maybe is she a bigger contender?
Just always been found out at grade one level. And I wouldn't be surprised if Concertista, you know, another run under her belt. She's good form around Punchestown. I think Stormy Ireland going a strong gallop will suit Concertista. I think that mare's hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival was quite stop-start. And then they got racing a long way from home.
Okay. Frank, if there's a danger to Willie winning it, making it 7 from 8, Ruby's mentioned Sky Ace, and Tell Me Something Girl, the Mare's Novice Heroine, would they be the two main dangers?
Yeah, I would think so. Tell Me Something Girl, I think, would be a bigger danger, personally. Thought she was very, very good in the Mare's Novice at Cheltenham, and she wasn't stopping. She was very strong at the finish, and she's won over 2.5 to 4, beating Darren's Hope. I think Darren's Hope has definitely won at least a listed race, or it's not a group, a grade three since.
She went down Limerick, yeah.
Yeah, so like, you know, she'd be a big danger. Sky Ace, it was brilliant at Ferry House when she won. The fact that Shark told everyone she was a certainty, and yeah, it was his first grade one, just a brilliant story, and, you know, brilliant that she did do it. Like, you love seeing that sort of foolishness, and for it to be kind of, you know, rewarded in that way, I think is excellent. I do think this is tougher for her, though, and this is a bit deeper, and I just can't see why she should reverse with Tell Me Something Girl from Cheltenham, even allowing for the fact that that was over 2-1 and this over 2.5. I just think the trip is no negative for Tell Me Something Girl either, and she could actually improve for it. So I would have Tell Me Something Girl as a bigger danger than Sky Ace.
I think you'd go back far enough, Rob, to a maiden hurdle in Ferry House. I think Tell Me Something Girl finished just in front of Concertista, and they were third and fourth.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Frank, Mrs. Milner, obviously she'll step back and trip if she runs here. Is she worth a shout?
She was very good at Cheltenham. Would I be interested 2.5 around here? I think she'd probably get done for a bit of speed, personally. But maybe something else. Look, yeah, I think she's landed her pot for the season now, win the pretemps. And even at 16-1, the price might attract a few people in. I have one at a similar price that I'd be far sweeter on. We'll get to in a minute.
I thought Heaven Help Us would go here rather than the 3 mile hurdle, no?
He did say he wanted to have a crack at the 3 mile, but that's not to say he won't change his mind.
I was saying I'd be coming here, anyway.
Well, if she does run here, obviously, would she be able to lie up with Stormy Ireland then?
Well, Stormy Ireland suit her. You know she's going to get the trip in against your own sex rather than taking on the Geldings. 144. I think you have a better chance of winning this race off that rating than you have the other one.
Okay, Frank, you mentioned one at a price. Hit us.
Well, it's one of Willie's, but it's a bit frustrating, actually, when I was pricing up Antipost, because obviously we're first up and only one other firm's got with us, and they'll genuinely go a tick either side of your prices.
Copy and paste.
Yeah. And the one I like is My Sister Sarah. On numbers, on the figures, she'd have a bit to find. We have to remember, Black Tears was only rated 148 going into the Mayor's Hurdle at Cheltenham, and she ended up winning. My Sister Sarah's rated 143. And you would say that she's got, what, £10 to find with Concertista? But at the price, I'd definitely give her a go. And here, by reasoning, she is a much better mare going right-handed than left-handed. Like, she wasn't disgraced in the Mare's Hurdle at Cheltenham when she finished fifth, beating 11 lengths, which is definitely better going right-handed. Her record left-handed is zero wins for 6 runs, and she hasn't even hit the places in any of those 6 runs. But then when she goes right-handed, she's had 9 starts. She's had 4 wins in 4 seconds. In those 9 starts, she's 2 from 2 at Punchestown. She won her maiden hurdle here in a canter, and she bolted up in a handicap hurdle at the 2019 festival over 3 miles. If they go hard, it'll suit her. She obviously has the stamina for further. Good ground is no issue, and just the prices, I could easily see her improving, you know, and running to a mark of about 150, low 150s. If she does that, she'll be bang there. and she's a very fair price as well.
And what's bringing in Ruby? Is it the plan that she'll run? Because obviously she'll have handicap entries
I'd imagine she'll run. Say 153 is probably to her limit in the handicap hurdle, to tell you the truth. Or she might have some chance of getting grade one black type if she was to run here. I'd say she'll run all right.
Okay, decision time. Is it a tentative vote for Concertista Ruby?
Yeah, exactly.
And Frank?
If my sister Sarah runs, I'd be definitely backing her each way. I think she's got a right chance.
Great. The other grade one and the final grade one of the week is the Ballymore Champion 4-year-old hurdle. Potentially, this is going to be a cracker. Willie's got a stunning record, Ruby. 6 of the last 7. It's looking as though Hawthorn Colours must have a great chance should he line up, because he ran a blinder at Cheltenham.
He did. He ran a cracker in the Triumph. Look, the Triumph was definitely a tactical race, no doubt. No two ways about that. And Rachel looked to have gotten it absolutely spot on, and Quilixius in front. I guess there was a red flag before the race when you saw a tongue-tied Adair Donzana here, which you hadn't seen all year. Just looked to me like they were fraction cautious with him. And he only got going at the back of the last when the race was over. I wonder if they'd kind of left the worries about his wind aside and just gone about riding him like a stare. What do you have collected? Don't know. The thought is in my mind all the same. Thought Hawthorn Colour ran a brilliant race. Saint Sam ran a cracker in the Fred Winter. Just got chinned by Jeff Kidder. Jeff Kidder's come back and won in Punchestown since. I think there are 5 really good juveniles, and I could see all 5 lining up. Quilixius, Anna here, Hawthorn Colour, Saint Sam and Jeff Kidder. And I think it'll be a cracking race. Which one would I like to be on? Possibly Anna here.
And obviously that Cheltenham run for Hawthorn Colours was his first run since October. So how much improvement can we expect?
A bit, but he was in training quite a while. I don't know if he'll improve that much. He had experience in France. I just thought they were negative on Zanahir. I thought if he was, like, his performance in a really strongly run race at Ferry House, to me, was a standout performance. And I just thought they were conservative on him and he got done for tow.
Okay, so it wasn't Zanahir's true run. Frank, Quilixius beat Hawthorn Colours and Zanahir in the Triumph. Is that form that he'll be holding on to?
I don't know. Like, as Ruby said, like, it was tactical. It wasn't the strongest run race. He was very well positioned. I wouldn't be certain he'd uphold. Like, I just echo what Ruby said, like, the tongue tie. When we were going back over performance at Cheltenham, this was a race you got wrong. We were very sweet on Zanahir. Made a much shorter price than the 11-8 went off, and we were much bigger Quilixius. And I think we didn't factor in enough the fact that tongue tie was applied, being a negative. That's definitely a lesson we've learned from that race. And I agree with Ruby. Like, he looked like he's going to get really well beaten turning in, and then he's running on again to beat less than 5 lengths. And it's a very fair point he's made that, you know, if he was put in the heat of the battle a bit earlier, would he have got a lot closer or even won? Potentially could have. It's interesting, Ruby, what Ruby says about Hawthorn Colour. I thought he's run an absolute cracker, and I would assume he'd step forward considering he hadn't run since October. He's bound to be a little bit sharper for it. Is it a race I'd be mad keen to have a bet on at this stage? Probably not. But if you put a gun to my head, I'd probably go with Willie's horse, Hawthorn Colour. I really like the way he went through the Triumph. I just think he has to improve some small bit.
And Jeff Kidder, obviously he's followed up since the Boodles, but on ratings he still probably has a bit to find on the big 3 or 4.
Yeah, like, there's no reason why he should beat Saint Sam, considering he was getting, what, a stone off him at Cheltenham and he beat him 2 lengths. So, like, if you're liking Jeff Kidder, you have to prefer Saint Sam.
And is there anything else more to mention, Frank?
I don't think so. I see the French horse, David Cotton's entered one there. Mika Malpic.
Yeah, JP's.
French form. Like, it's been run over Compiègne the last day. Just a very strange entry. But you'd always kind of perk up when you see a French horse for JP entered. You're like, what's that about? You know, looking at it, you'd say absolutely no chance. But yeah, be one to keep an eye on. But like, yeah, I think it's just going to concern the 5 there that Ruby's mentioned.
Okay, Ruby, so you're prepared to give Zanahir a second chance?
I am, but I'm a bit like Frank now. Just not sure I'd be rushing to get stuck into this race.
No doubt, Frank. You will have a bet come Saturday, so
Maybe on the day, but at this stage, like looking at the anti-post, do you have any, like, who would I chance? Hotland, Kalore. Do I have any edge backing him at 3-1? I don't think so. Like, you potentially could get that price at the final decks, or even potentially bigger. So there's no need to go play now. But I think on the day, if he's around 3-1, or maybe even a couple of ticks bigger, I'd maybe chance 20 quid in him.
Okay, sounds good. Great. Right, questions before we sign off. Ruby, I'll start with you. Declan Bennett asks, it's a long time since Davenport Millennium won two races at the same Punchestown Festival. It was 2002. And Frank might come in on this one, because is it something that you think Echoes in Rain might try and achieve? She's obviously in on the Tuesday, and she's in the Mayor's Hurdle on the Saturday.
I'd be amazed if she did. Davenport did it all right, but I think he went from winning a novice into an open grade one that looked winnable, and that's why he did it. I'd be amazed if Willie pulled out a mare, maybe with as bright a future as Echoes and Rain has, and chance her over 2.5 on the Saturday. Not saying he wouldn't, but I'd be surprised.
Frank, we may get your racing secretary hat on here. What would you be doing?
Right, and Rob, hang on. That's providing he pitches her in against the Preciate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he won't hang on to her and go there first, but I'd be surprised if he ran her on the Tuesday, he'd pull her out again on Saturday.
You can't see her running twice, basically, is what you're saying.
I couldn't.
Like you have to put it this way, like, if she runs against Appreciate and wins, why don't you run her again on the Saturday?
Exactly.
And if you run her on against Appreciate and she gets well beaten, why would you run her again on the Saturday? You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
I can't see any scenario where she runs twice. The only way she'd run in both races maybe is if she unseated at the first the first day, and then maybe they might go to Saturday's race. But other than that, it's a massive price. She'd run in both races and complete in both races.
And obviously it's pretty much been ruled out you can run twice at the Cheltenham Festival, but it's quite common here, Ruby. We see it end of Bulger doing it with the Banks, and Viking Flagship did it back in the day. So we will see horses run probably a couple of times throughout the festival.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think once trainers are given the discretion to use their own judgment, that's the reason should be part of the criteria for them to get a license, is that they should be able to make a note that they're doing the right thing by their horses. So I don't see why they shouldn't be allowed run again. It's the end of the season. For a lot of them, they'll be going on holidays the following Monday anyway. So, you know, if people, connections choose to or see an opportunity, they're going to have 3 months, most of them standing in the field from the following week to get over it anyway.
Agreed. Frank, this one's for you. Pat Murphy asks, of the 4 odds on favourites at next week's Punchestown Festival, he's talking about Appreciated, Energamine, Honeysuckle and Bob Allinger, which is the most vulnerable and why, or would you back all 4 to win at roughly 7-1?
Back and forth horse in the multi definitely isn't my style anyway. Wouldn't be something I would even contemplate doing. If I had to say which one's most vulnerable, look, maybe Appreciate if Echoes and Rain runs against them, simply because I think she is very, very good. And as impressive as he was at Cheltenham, you know, still was soft enough ground, and he, you know, went hard. Maybe might have taken a tiny bit out of him. While she had a breeze around Fairy House a week later. Maybe him. I just can't see how Energamine gets beaten. Honeysuckle, it's a competitive race, but it's just like, yeah, I'd probably say Appreciate it, but I'd have zero confidence in saying one of them's definitely going to get turned over. But doing those sort of multis isn't the kind of bet I look to do.
Okay, Ruby, Johnny Flynn asks, she's won the Irish Champion Hurdle and the English Champion Hurdle. If she was yours, would you run Honeysuckle in the French Champion Hurdle and try and emulate Dawn Run?
I probably would, yeah. I probably would. I'd go to Punchestown with her first, be only her fourth run. And yeah, I think she'd get 3 miles. She's a good jumper, yeah. I would.
Okay, lads, thanks for your time. As always, it's very much appreciated. Five super days of the 2021 Punchestown Festival await us next week. But before then, we'll be back with another festival focus as the lads look forward to the first two classics of 2021, both guineas at Newmarket. But until then, stay lucky, bet responsibly, stay safe, and we'll chat soon.